I want to just read one verse this evening and speaking to our families tonight. Raising children successfully, I'm sure that is a real concern in the hearts of many. Maybe your children are already grown, but maybe you can help raise the grandchildren. But I was thinking this afternoon, and I thought about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of whom I spoke this morning. Jesus was speaking to the Israelites, the Jewish people, when he was addressing or gave that particular scripture and spoke about some being cast into outer darkness. And I thought, here's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus is talking to their descendants. We could say their children. And he's telling them that some of them are going to be cast into outer darkness. And I thought about you and me. And I'm sure that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did all they could to instill godly values into their children, just as you have. And I was thinking, you're going to have to be very, very close to God to be able to be there in heaven and realize that some of your descendants are cast into outer darkness. You're going to have to be mighty close to God to say amen to that. Am I right? A lot of people idolize their children. Your children are their world. But I'm talking tonight about loving God enough to trust Him, to make the right decisions with our children. But I'm also talking to us this evening about doing our best to make sure our children and our grandchildren know the Lord, that they will come along and go with us to heaven. That's what I want. That's what I desire. That's what I yearn for. In the case of Abraham, I know at least one incident where he had to say to his descendant, son, remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime. Jesus told us about that conversation between Abraham and a Jew who went to hell. Son, remember. I don't think Abraham took any joy in saying that to him, but he couldn't help him. He had to say amen to what God had done. Just like you and I will. See, when we stand before the Lord, we may bail our children out of a lot of things down here in the world, but we will not be able to change their destiny when they stand before God. It's too late then. It's too late. Ephesians 6:4 says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Anyone who has done it knows that bringing children into the world and giving them the love and the discipline and the guidance they need to become mature and responsible adults is a large assignment. Tonight, I by no means am going to give you everything that you need in raising children. I just want to offer three suggestions to help us succeed in raising our children. Number one, I'd like for I'd like for us to concentrate on this. Always keep your word. Always tell your children, your grandchildren, always tell everyone the truth. Amen. As a matter of fact, that is the ninth commandment, that we do not bear false witness. Now, don't be a liar. Tell the truth. Now, this really hits in all directions, not just in telling a point-blank lie. Some people call them little white lies, but there is no such thing as a white lie. They're all black. But if you promise a child you're going to reward him for doing something, make sure you do it. Children, what do you think? You think if mom and dad says they're going to reward you for mowing the yard or painting the barn or going to get the bread, you think they ought to follow through with what they tell you they're going to do? You can agree with me. I'm not trying to trick you. We ought to reward children if we say we're going to reward them, and we ought to punish them for doing something bad, if that is recommended scripturally. If you threaten to punish them, make sure you do it. Failure to keep your word. In other words, if you're not going to punish or correct or chastise your child if they don't do what you say, don't tell them to do it. Don't tell them to do it. If you threaten to punish a child for doing something bad, be sure you follow through with that. Failure to keep your word will shatter his security and leave him in a state of confusion. If he cannot depend on you to keep your word, on whom can he depend? If you're not going to do it, don't say it. Don't breathe insecurities into your children. Children are secure with mom and dad until they take hits in their lives. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean until they take hits like a divorce. A hit like catching a parent in a lie. Or drunkenness. Or unfaithful to the other parent. Or maybe get in trouble with the law and get carted off to prison. Tremendous emotional problems may develop from insecurities developed in the disappointments of life. Don't say mom and dad will always be there for you. He may meet a friend at school whose parents are dead and cannot possibly be there for them. Or maybe they're divorced. Don't lie to your children. Don't lay the foundation for insecurity. What you need to say is this: God will always be there for you. God will guide you. God will help you. God will keep you. Don't make promises to your child that you may not be able to keep. Bill Stevens said, "I'll never forget the disappointment I experienced when I was only 5 years old. Dad offered to pay any of us children 1 cent for every pound of beans we picked before Saturday afternoon. Since I was not in school, as my brothers were, I had the advantage. With a burning desire to get ahead in life, I threw a sack over my shoulder and headed for the bean patch every morning as my brothers went off to school." Keep in mind, this child is 5 years old. These brothers may have been learning how to read and write, he says, "but I was making money. And for several days I worked like a Trojan, picking beans a pod at a time, until my goal of 100 pounds had finally been reached. Even at 5 years old, I knew this amounted to a dollar when wages were dispensed. When the beans were weighed on Saturday, mine came to 100 pounds, as I knew they would. My brother had weighed them for me every day after school and added up the totals. Needless to say, I was not only proud of my work, I was also looking forward to my reward. It would have been the first dollar I had ever earned. When the older children received their wages, it was 1 cent per pound, as had been promised. But when my turn came, and Dad weighed the beans I had picked, he mumbled something about it wasn't possible for a child my age to have picked that many beans, though the scale proved otherwise. And so he handed me a quarter instead of a dollar and closed up shop. Bill says, I'll never forget the hurt. I had been cheated, and I knew it, and cheated by my very own dad. Dad had not kept his word, and that hurt me more deeply than the loss of funds. Of course, I got over it as the years passed. But even though Dad died over 30 years ago, I still wish he had not done that, because it placed a question mark over his integrity and lowered the esteem I felt for him in my heart. I said that to say this. A child's confidence is shattered when a parent doesn't keep his word, whether it involves a sack of beans, a candy bar, a trip to the zoo, a picnic, faithfulness to mom and dad, or anything else that's promised. Some time ago, a father told me that his daughter was experiencing tremendous emotional hurt because the mother would promise to come and see her 5-year-old daughter at a particular time, and she would never show up. Always do what you say, or your child won't know what to expect or on whom he can depend. Johnny had a handful of mud one day. He was ready to throw it against the house when his dad saw him and shouted, Johnny, don't do that or you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Johnny thought for a moment and then splat. Right against the house it went. Johnny, I said, no, Dad repeated again. If you do that again, I'll have to give you a spanking. Stooping down, little Johnny scooped up another handful of mud. And with less reluctance this time, splat, the mud went against the house again. I'm not kidding you, Johnny. If you do that again, I'm really going to spank you. A little bolder this time, splat, another handful of mud landed against the house. What am I going to do with him? Shouted Johnny's dad to his mother, who was watching nearby. He acts like he really wants me to spank him. Well, did you say you would? She asked. Yes, I told him before he did it the first time. Well, maybe Johnny just wants to see if you can be trusted. Well, what does trust have to do with it? You said you would spank him if he threw the mud against the house, and now he needs to find out whether you are a person of your word. If you don't keep your word on this, how will he be able to trust you on anything else? What should Johnny's dad have done? He should have kept quiet, or he should have followed through with the discipline that he said he was going to give. Frequently, I've heard parents make exaggerated threats to get their children to obey, and that's a mistake as well. I heard a woman out on the churchyard one time. And she was fussing with a kid. And she, "You touch that and I'll jerk your arm off and beat you to death with it." What in the world? You're lying and your children know it. But what happens is they lose respect for you. Karen was taking her own good time while the rest of the family was waiting for her to get into the car so they could continue on their vacation to get Karen to hurry. Mom shouted, "Karen, if you're not in this car in 1 minute, we're going to leave without you." Karen made it on time because she didn't want to get left. But for the next hour, she sat there motionless in the back seat, wondering if her mother really loved her or if she had lied. If she really loved her, she would not leave her at a station in a strange city. And if she really wouldn't have done that, why had she lied? And so I say to you tonight, church, always speak the truth. Always be careful to do what you say you will do. If you're not going to do it, then don't say you're going to do it. That's the first suggestion I want to make. Otherwise, your child will not know what to expect or on what he or she can depend. This doesn't mean that you can't review a problem. If your child comes to you and you realize you get a more accurate knowledge of what's really going on, you may realize in some cases that you have been excessive or unfair. Your child may be truly sorry for something he has done and has manifested that, and you must adjust your response to that. What it does mean, however, is that you are a person of your word, and your child knows it. If you're a truthful mom and dad, I promise you, your child will have a security as a result of that, that they can never have otherwise. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. If you are not going to keep your word, don't give it. Secondly, don't reward misbehavior. Because if you reward misbehavior, you'll only encourage it to continue. Here's little Janice. She threw a temper tantrum in a grocery store when her parents didn't get her the toy she wanted. She kept on pouting and whining until her parents caved in, were so embarrassed they finally gave in just to get her to hush. Big mistake. The lesson Janice learned that day was this: the way to get what you want is by embarrassing your parents thoroughly enough in a public place. If you say no to a child and after he's pouted for 3 days and has gotten over it, you then decide to give him what he wanted, he'll learn to throw a tantrum, go on a pout, and get over it just so he can get his way. It's amazing how much pain a child will endure if in the end he can get his way. The reason children whine and pout and throw temper tantrums, of course, is to get what they want. Once they learn that this kind of behavior doesn't pay off, they will drop it. Who wants to put himself through this when nothing is to be gained? Be careful not to reward misbehavior, or you will encourage it to continue. That's the second suggestion I want to make tonight. Do not reward misbehavior. That is the reason America is going down the tubes and the lights are going out. Our government is rewarding wrong behavior. And whatever it is you reward, you're going to get more of it. Number three, allow natural consequences to be a teaching aid. What do you mean? As children grow older, allow your children to endure the consequences of their own mistakes. Children will not become mature and responsible adults if they are overprotected. They need to learn while they're growing up that life bites when irresponsible choices are made. It is a mistake for parents to constantly bail their children out of trouble. You've all been hearing all this news about this affluenza teen. That's a case in point. Mom constantly bailing them out of trouble. I think what killed four people, drinking and driving drunk, killed four people. Violating probation, just one bad decision, one irresponsible decision after another, because the kid has never been able or never been forced to be responsible for the choices he made. Children need to learn early in life that bad decisions bring painful consequences. When Mark was in first grade, he insulted his teacher and got away with it because he was so young. I was misbehaving one time in first grade. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I was. I was just my first day of school, right off the farm. You know, I've been carefree, having my life the way I wanted it, and I didn't know anything about school teachers and school and books and stuff. And my first day in school, and I was sitting there making funny little noises on my arm. First grade. The teacher made specific instructions about the noise stopping. Well, I didn't hear her. And the next thing I knew, there was this pain. Somebody had a hold of my ear. And she literally lifted me out of my chair, that little chair. But she lifted me out of that chair, and she said to me, "Arnold, do I have your attention now? Do you think you can stop making those noises now?" And I said, "Yes, Miss Armfield." And she had an arm on her, I'm telling you. Her husband was actually the game warden, if I'm not mistaken. But there she was. She taught me on first day of school to keep quiet in class and listen to the teacher. But Mark insulted his teacher and got away with it because he was so young. When he was 10 years old, he stole candy from a grocery store and was released to his parents, and nothing more than a scolding was received. When he was 15, he stole the keys to his parents' car, got arrested for driving without a license. His father paid the fine, didn't require Mark to pay it back, no discipline. Once again, got off scot-free. Mark's parents meant well when they spared him the consequences of his misbehavior, but all they ended up doing was causing him to believe he could do anything he wanted without consequences. When Mark left home to face life on his own, he finally had to face up to the consequences of his own irresponsibility. After 2 weeks on his first job, got fired in a flurry of words because he just couldn't get to work on time. He became bitter. He blamed his boss for what had happened. You see, he had not learned during his childhood, a little at a time, that there is a relationship between behavior and consequence. Now he was having to learn it as an adult. And for the first time in his life, his parents could not save him from the consequences of his behavior. Needless to say, Mark had an awful time submitting to authority of any kind and fitting into society as an adult. Emotionally, he was still a child because his parents had not allowed him to endure the consequences of his own mistakes while he was growing up. We do our children a disservice when we don't allow them to learn early in life that there's a connection between behavior and consequence. Kevin misses the bus. He's slow getting ready. What to do? Well, maybe you ought to let him explain to the principal why he's late. As children grow older, you must insist that they assume responsibility for the choices they make, even when these choices cause pain. And so, what's the conclusion? To help your child become mature and responsible adults, number one, say it with me, always keep your word. Say it again. Always keep your word. Number two, be careful not to reward misbehavior. Say it with me. Be careful not to reward misbehavior. Number three, allow them to endure the consequences of their own mistakes. Say it with me. Allow them to endure the consequences of their own mistakes. Three suggestions that I believe are really, really important. But before I close this simple little message tonight, Susanna Wesley had some rules for rearing her children, and I've abbreviated them. I won't go into them at length, but Susanna Wesley mothered 19 children. Hello. She was a true mother of Israel, amen? 19 kids, one woman. And she didn't go to textbooks for her theories on child guidance. And though 200 years old, her rules are still valid for teaching a child today. Number one, she says, allow no eating between meals. Number two, put all children to bed by 8 o'clock. Number three, require them to take medicine without complaining. Number four, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. Number five, teach each one to pray as soon as he can speak. Number six, require all to be still during family worship. Number seven, give them nothing that they cry for. That's a big one right there, isn't it? How many of you have been in Walmart and heard screaming youngins? Yeah, we all have. That's one thing I told my kids growing up. You get nothing you cry for. Hello. Didn't I say that? If mom and dad think you need something, they'll get it for you. You don't have to cry for it, you know. But all this pouting and laying down on the floor and throwing a temper tantrum and screaming to high heaven. Oh no, we're not going there. Give them nothing they cry for, unless of course a baby's hungry. You know what I mean. And only that which they ask for politely. Number eight, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. Number nine, never allow a sinful act to go unpunished. Number 10, never punish a child twice for a single offense. Number 11, commend and reward good behavior. Number 12, any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. Number 13, preserve property rights even in the smallest matters. Number 14, strictly observe all promises. Number 15, require no daughter to work before she can read well. Number 16, teach children to fear the rod. Proverbs says, he that spareth the rod hateth the son. I wouldn't advise using the rod in public. You've got too many heathen out there that's wanting to take you to court for disciplining your children. And you know, I'm not for abusing children. Don't ever strike a child on the face. Don't ever slap a child. There's a padded section about midway between the head and the foot. That works real good for a rod. And when you talk about a rod, I'm not talking about something like a hoe handle or pitchfork or anything like that. I've showed you before. We used a little dowel rod, about a 3/8 inch dowel rod, about that long. And that little thing will break if you hit somebody too hard with it. But let me tell you what, if you use it enough of times in the same place, it will get results. Amen? Jared, why are you grinning at me? Teach children to fear the rod. I've had school teachers come to me in private. I'm sure they wouldn't get up before the class and say this, but they're asking me what to do. I've got a kid, preacher, and I'm a school teacher, and I can maintain order in my classroom at school, but when I come home, my own kid is driving me crazy. I can't do a thing with him. And I told her all about the rod. And the next time she saw me, she said, "Preacher, thank you for telling me about the rod. It works. It works. When nothing else will work. You try time out, it doesn't work. You try time in, that don't work either. You try rewards, that don't work. You try restraining rewards, that doesn't work either. You just got a little heathen on your hands." The rod of correction will drive that rebellion from that child if it's done properly and without abuse. You say, "Preacher, was such child training effective for Susanna Wesley?" If you look in your hymn book, Charles Wesley was a great hymn writer, wrote many of your hymns. And John Wesley, the preacher, her last two sons, gave ample testimony of the effectiveness of Susanna Wesley's child training. And perhaps we'd do well to consider the ways of our child training techniques. But these are just some things that I believe will help as we try to raise our children to fear God. Not only to fear the Lord, but to love the Lord. I know of people tonight. My heart breaks for them. I'm sure Abraham's heart broke for that rich man. Abraham's own descendant. A rich man. He did well in life, but there he is, suffering in the torments of hell. And all he can say to him is, "Son, remember." "But if you'll send one back from the dead, Father Abraham, they'll repent." See, he knew what they needed to do. His five brothers, they'll repent. Abraham said this. He said, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You see, Abraham knew There are some who are incorrigible. There are some who will not repent. There are some, I don't care how good you are, they will use your goodness and then mock you. All we know to do is to love our children. But we should not reward wrong behavior. And doing all we know to do in praying for them, weeping over them, trying to get them under the sound of the gospel and the preaching of the word of God and the teaching of the commandments of God, you may not be successful in doing that. You need to pray. You need to weep tears. You need to do your best, just like I do. But Abraham had to face the stark reality, the sad reality, that some of his descendants would be cast out into outer darkness. Some of his descendants, like the rich man, would spend eternity in the fires of hell. And all he can do at that point is to accept the will of God and say, "Lord, your will be done." Have you thought about it? There may be some relatives in our lineage that we will be witnesses to, just like Abraham was, and we'll witness them being cast out instead of being received into heaven, into glory, be cast out. The Bible speaks about the bottomless pit. The Bible speaks about the lake of fire. The Bible speaks about the smoke of their torment ascending up forever and ever. But I believe that parent that looks back on a child that does not go to heaven, refuses Christ, refuses God's way, I believe that ultimately God will give them the grace to say, "Father, your will be done." And you and I will realize that a person, unless they are saved, a person, unless they are born again and changed, if they went to heaven, they'd mess it up. They'd have to go putting locks on the doors. People start making guns and killing each other. Instead of being like the angels, everybody would start having affairs. God can't let that happen in heaven. And you and I will know that. And when they are cast out into outer darkness. And I realize it's a hard thing even for me to say. We may have to say, "Amen. God, you made the right decision." I think that's what it means to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, with all of your strength. Don't make an idol out of your child. Love the Lord supremely and raise your child to love God supremely with all that is in you.